outside of our grants, we also facilitate quite a few annual events like Live at the Lakefront that we just had, Spring Art Walk coming up this weekend, Chuck Fest in the fall, as well as some more educational type opportunities. On top of that, we're also more than willing to take in artists for things like Spring Art Walk. I like to think of ourselves as community shapers.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Porter. We're excited to bring you the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana with all the tools you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
Looking at episode number 42, speaking to Cameron Foltz of the Arts and Humanities Council of Southwest Louisiana to see how many things that they really have their hands on in terms of enriching the culture through arts and music and everything else that they do. A very fun and interesting conversation. But before we get to that, you know the drill. It's time for On V Eats.
This week for On V Eats, we head over to Rick and Jack's on Ryan Street in Lake Charles. This is a really fun restaurant, brewery, great atmosphere. Sitting outdoors, listening to a band right there, getting to people watch. They're on the road.
Yep.
Outdoor games, giant Jenga.
I'll say this. It's probably one of my favorite places in town to grab a beer. Like, it is such a cool atmosphere for that. And I think that's where they shine the most. And we'll talk about what they do on the culinary side, which is really good too. But I love grabbing a beer there. Truly one of my favorite places in town to do so. Opening in 2016. A long history in Lake Charles, and this is actually the second iteration of Rick and Jack's. They wanted to ride that culture and that momentum that we've seen through breweries all through the state, and they've really carved out a piece in Lake Charles culture doing so. And in fact, you know, I kind of wrote down here, it's a party place. You know, you mentioned all of those things. There's almost always an event or a promotion, stuff like Trivia Night on Wednesdays. There's daily happy hours. They've got live music and live brunches and live music during the live brunches.
I may or may not have graced the karaoke stage there once or twice.
Exactly. So it ultimately is a ton of fun. It's a fun place.
They really understand their clientele and the market for an outdoor eatery like this. People love to sit outside, right? It's in our blood here in Southwest Louisiana just to be outdoors, and they do it so well there. They've got the, you know, AstroTurf ground. They've got all the outdoor games, the giant Jenga, the cornhole. It's just a place where you can go and, like you said, grab a drink, have a good time. It's a relaxed atmosphere. Music's always pumping in there. It's just such a fun vibe.
Well, let's go on to what we ate. We started with the appetizer, the Gator Bouillette. It was crispy and meaty. It's ultimately a circular little fried ball of happiness.
A sphere, if you will.
Ooh, I like that. And it's super, super crispy, and it's so meaty. I put down here, it's like a crispy boudin. But then I heard the even better comparison.
It's a hush puppy and a boudin ball as if they had a baby.
And it absolutely is that. But the best thing of that is they also got to choose all the features of their baby. So, like, you get the crunchy exterior, the meaty exterior. Like, it's all the best parts of both put into one.
Moist on the inside. It's, of course, it's alligator, right? But it's not.
Which, if you're not familiar, is like a combo of fish and chicken.
Yeah, people say it tastes kind of like
chicken. It's somewhere in between the flavor profile, which means it's amazing.
It's alligator does not have that fishy taste, if you will. It doesn't immediately scream seafood, but it's got like a hint of that.
Yep.
There. It's very good. Very good. Yeah, very crispy. A great dipping sauce with it too. A little hot for me, the Jezebel sauce. A little spicy there, but I always order ranch everywhere I go. We know this by now. And it's delicious in that, too.
And I think it might have had a little bit of habanero in it. So it really had some kick to it. The Jezebel sauce, very, very good. It's very sweet, but that spice comes in and kind of balances it out. Really, really great start to the meal.
I, for the entree, got Dixie Tacos, the chicken version. You can get them in fajita beef, chicken, or pulled pork. I always get the chicken, and I got it fried because that's my style.
Because why would you not?
Because why would you not get fried chicken on a taco? And that's exactly what it is. Essentially a chicken strip on a soft flour tortilla. It's got jalapenos and fresh pico, very fresh pico on top.
And their beer cheese, you're kind of burying the lead here.
Yeah, and their cheese is absolutely delicious. So pour that all on top. I got it with a side of black beans just to kind of round out that meal. Also topped with that really fresh pico on it too, which goes such a long way for me. This is one of those meals that is a lot. It comes with two tacos and your side, but it's not heavy. It doesn't feel like you're, you know, having to roll out of there whenever you're leaving. Like, you don't feel weighed down by this meal, but you're filled also. Very good. Of course, like I said, I always get ranch. They have really good homemade ranch there. And I pour that all over my tacos too.
So if you're a rancher.
Yeah. Like, I think I'm going to start like a Jill's Top 10 Best Ranch places in town.
And it's the ranch just rankings.
Ooh, the ranch rankings. I'm going to do the ranch rankings, and it's going to be the best places to get your ranch in town.
I'm not going to support that endeavor.
I'm doing it. It's going to go. Look out, y'all. Visit lakecharles.org/podcast/ranch.
I had one of their culinary creations. It's kind of unique what they do. They call it the chicken mamu. It's grilled chicken, cheese, bacon, and then a sweet chili sauce on top. And it kind of pairs together really interesting. The sauce is that kind of an Asian-inspired sweet chili sauce. And that grilled chicken is nice and salty. The cheese is obviously cheesy. That's breaking. Make sure to write that down. The bacon, salty as well. And so all of it adds something to each other, and it's on a bed of mashed potatoes, so it's always great.
Comfort food. I got
the mac and cheese there on the side as well. Super cheesy. There's a hint of pepper flavor all the way throughout, and so all of it works together in a very like harmonious dance, and it's very good.
In addition to good food, good drink, good atmosphere. It's also got a great location. It's right on Ryan Street, just south of 210. It's near McNeese State University. So if you're coming to visit, if maybe you're catching a ball game of some sort, it's a great place to stop by.
Just seconds away from the McNeese campus.
That's right.
It is really convenient there. And it's not far from Burton Coliseum as well. So if you're in town for anything McNeese related or sports related, it's going to be a great stop on your itinerary for sure.
So if you're headed to Southwest Louisiana, please put Rick and Jack's on your list.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Cameron Foltz, the Executive Director of the Arts and Humanities Council of Southwest Louisiana. He's been with the Arts Council for 2 years, and during that time, he's aided in the growth of events like Live at the Lakefront, Spring Art Walk, and Chuck Fest, you know, some of our favorites. Speaking of Chuck Fest, he actually orchestrated the return of the iconic Southwest Louisiana Music Festival, so a big thank you for that. And a welcome to the show, Cameron.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So Southwest Louisiana is known for big city amenities and small town charm, which makes for a variety of experiences that anyone can add to their itinerary, from outdoor adventures to national and regional entertainment. We've had a sold out concert last week.
Yeah.
We've got it all here in the lake area. So before we get started, we want our listeners to better know you and see how you play in Louisiana's playground. So are you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, number one, crawfish or gumbo?
Gumbo.
Ooh, easy, immediate answer.
It's got all the food pyramids in it, especially homemade gumbo.
Okay.
I love crawfish, don't get me wrong. But, you know, Thursday night, I'm taking a gumbo over crawfish.
Now, what kind of gumbo is your favorite?
Probably my mom's. Darker the better. So chicken sausage.
Chicken sausage.
Yeah. Same.
You guys drop an egg in there. I love that home country feel to a good chicken sausage. And final question regarding this. We do this with every guest. Do you believe there's a gumbo season?
Brady, any season's gumbo season, okay?
Okay.
It's always so, gumbo season.
Now, if I may, it definitely has a background and a taste. It tastes better in the winter or in the cold.
It does. It tastes better when it's cold outside.
But I'm probably going to make a gumbo next week just because you said something about it, you know?
Interesting.
If it just didn't take so long, that's the, if I have one knock on gumbo, It's how long it takes. So, all right.
It's a labor of love. Okay, yeah. Next question. Poolside or beachside?
Beachside. I like the breeze and the, you know, the animals and the fish, and it's okay. Great.
Okay, sand between your toes.
Yes.
Et cetera. All right, last one. Concert or comedy show?
Concert, for sure.
Okay, who are you listening to?
Well, I guess anyone that plays at our events, you know, like Chuck Fest. No, I'm kidding. No, recently
I've
been.
Shameless plug here.
Yeah, oh, no doubt, no doubt. Recently I've been really into Lawrence. They're a funk jazz band out of New York. They're
okay.
They're a brother-sister duo, but they have a funk band behind them. They're really cool. They're really fun.
I always That's like awesome. Hearing musical suggestions from those that are really plugged in, because it's always off the wall. Someone that you've never and would have never heard of, you know, out of your circle. And so yeah. It's always interesting.
I mean, I could be boring and say Foo Fighters. I love Foo Fighters. But
I do love the Foo Fighters.
But I like being a little out there.
Nothing boring about Dave Grohl. Just
absolutely
saying.
Not. What a guy.
So let's transition to the conversation in hand now that we kind of know how you play in Louisiana's playground. When you say the Arts and Humanities Council of Southwest Louisiana, what is it?
Yeah, so on the very basic surface, and we'll get deeper into it later, the Arts and Humanities Council is a 501c3 nonprofit, and our primary goal is to support arts and culture programs and initiatives in Southwest Louisiana, so in our five parish area. Beyond that, we do have five kind of pillars within our mission. And the full mission is everything I said, plus bring a unique cultural experience to local citizens while helping bolster tourism and economic development. But those five pillars, we support arts and culture initiatives and programs you enjoy directly through our robust grant program. Since 2005, we've allocated nearly $2 million to Southwest Louisiana communities.
Wow.
And just last year alone, we allocated $183,000 through our Lake Charles Partnership Grant.
Wow.
Louisiana Project Grant, Tourism Marketing Initiative Grant offered by Visit Lake Charles, and the Calcasieu Parish Police Jury.
So what kind of these grants, what are they helping fund? What kind of services, what kind of programs?
Yeah, so they can provide direct operational support for staff, turning the lights on at the end of the day. They can do marketing like the Visit Lake Charles Grant does, the Tourism and Marketing Initiative Grant. So that one, you might see a billboard from Lake Charles Symphony or Axe Theater. That's paid for directly by that grant. Or there's just general event funding grants that are used to, hire musicians, hire Deep South if they want to come out and do some production. It's pretty well-rounded with our organization, our mission.
And I know you guys do plenty of forward-facing initiatives and projects, as you mentioned some of them there. Not to get too deep into the weeds, but I know you also give safe haven and safe spaces and office spaces and those types of things for artists incubating to really help foster creative growth.
Yeah. So Central School is one of our major points of emphasis throughout the year. So if you're not familiar, 809 Kirby Street, Central School, it's the old Lake Charles High. What we do there is we rent out office space to local arts nonprofits. So the Symphony has an office. We have an office. Smoke and Barrel has an office. I'm sure y'all are familiar with their events. We have a couple photographers, a dance studio, and then we also rent out that space for rehearsals for CYT. They might be doing a production coming up here soon. Once renovations are complete, we'll be able to utilize our theater space, the Ben Mount Theater, once again. That's really exciting. But it's exactly like you described it. It's just an incubator. Half of the tenants probably come throughout the day, the office types, and the other half are at night teaching classes. So it's just a fun place to be. It's a nice safe haven, like you described, yeah.
Being that is such an important role in the development of art, and then you talk about some of the other things, why is the Arts and Humanity Council important in your eyes?
Oh, man, that is such a loaded question. So outside of running Central School, outside of our grants, we also facilitate quite a few annual events like Live at the Lakefront that we just had, Spring Art Walk coming up this weekend, Chuck Fest in the fall. As well as some more educational type opportunities. We have Poetry Out Loud, which is an annual, it's not slam poetry. Everyone thinks it's slam. It's very educational, where students come in from different schools. They compete against one another with recitative poetry, which is where you memorize it pretty much. It's just a fancy word. But they come in and compete. We send the winners on to the state competition. Those winners go on to the national competition. There's prizes involved, things like that. We also, through our partnerships with Banners, with the city, with Visit Lake Charles, CPPJ, we're able to help facilitate a clearinghouse of resources, if you will, for artists and arts organizations. So let's say somebody comes up to us and, hey, we have this idea for a fundraiser. What's worked in the past? Okay, we can share ideas. On top of that, we're also more than willing to take in artists for things like Spring Art Walk. I think we have 92 art vendors this year, which is the biggest since I've joined and probably the biggest we've had since we started the Spring Art Walk. Outside of that, I like to think of ourselves as not just community builders, but community
shapers.
Yeah, shapers. I like community shapers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, through things like Chuck Fest, we really prioritize the value that downtown offers. And with the expansion of the lakefront and, you know, hopefully the event center in the next couple of years, we really hope to build and grow with that, with the city, with our events.
I think Chuck Fest struck a chord, and let's dive into that a little bit if we can. I think Chuck Fest struck a chord that no one else was, right? No other event in Lake Charles, I think, was hitting just that right niche audience, right? Until Chuck Fest came along. It just felt like something brand new that maybe we had never seen before.
Yeah, and you know, I like to always say that we stand on the shoulders of giants. I mean, folks like Dave and Nan Evans, they started Chuck Fest back in 2014. So it's coming up on the 10-year anniversary. We wouldn't be anywhere in the downtown cultural scene without those acts, without This Is Home Fest even.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people get it backwards that we're some weird competition. We hope that they do well because we want the community to benefit from that. So yeah, things like that. I think we're able to offer just things that people can get out and go do for free. I mean, people don't have to travel to Lafayette or travel to Houston or travel to wherever they want to go just to get, you know, music or art or theater. I mean, the theater scene down here is thriving. I don't know if you guys keep up with it, but there's probably four or five different theater companies and they're constantly rotating.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think we offer a little bit of everything for all sorts of people.
Yeah.
I like the sometimes all it takes is, what's the line from The Dark Knight? You know, it just needs a push. You know, all of a sudden, Chuck Fest is created, and then boom, music festival. They elevate, and they all elevate, and we're seeing it right here on the lakefront. Mm-hmm. You get a new building. You get Crying Eagle coming in. You get Port Wonder, and all of a sudden, our lakefront will look completely different. Sometimes you just need that push.
Yeah, I definitely think that iron sharpens iron. And as the lakefront develops, we hope to develop with them. So we're already working with the Children's Museum to potentially have a few art-related events at their new spot. We're working with Crying Eagle. We're working with the city to, you know, provide input, you know, provide consultation any way we can. But it's a really exciting time to be here, and I couldn't think of a better place to be.
I just need to take a quick moment to pause and acknowledge that Brady just used a Joker quote to best explain what the Arts and Humanities Council does in Southwest Louisiana, because I don't think anyone else is going to draw those parallels.
Boy, baby, you like, only can get it here.
No, quite like Brady Raynard can, because if there's a movie quote for it, we're going to find it. Since the Spring Art Walk is coming up, let's just talk a little bit about what that has to offer.
Yeah, so again, it's another free event open to the public. We think of it as a space where artists can come to. Instead of people going out to see their art, people are coming in to see everyone. So, like I said, I think we capped it at 92 vendors this year. We have a couple food trucks coming. We have some live entertainment. And then all the downtown amenities that you get to check out, it's a very symbiotic relationship. We all benefit off of each other. So the more people coming in, the more people exposing themselves to local art, not just, you know, Walmart or TJ Maxx art that you can go get. I mean, this is real. This is real art that people are making in their homes and their studios that I think maybe some people lack an appreciation for.
Sure.
Which is definitely something I want to change, something I'm really interested. I'll give a very brief anecdote. When I was in school, I was lucky enough to be in band. If I didn't get a chance to, when I was in fifth grade, come in and, you know, play around on the keys or play a little trombone, I don't think I would have joined it, but the chance that I got, I was like, man, I was hooked. I wanted to be in band. I got hands-on. So I think a lot of people, whether it's visual art, performance art, music, I think they just don't get their hands on the tools that they need. So you see art that's labeled, you know, it might be $70 for a 12x12 picture. Some people might think, oh, that's kind of steep, but they don't know the craftsmanship that goes into it, the years of self-education and formal education that they might receive to be able to do these things. So something I'm really interested in is doing, I don't know what to call it other than adult learning opportunities, where maybe it's like painting with a twist, but like a sip and learn, where we bring in a bunch of moms on a Thursday night and they, you
I'm
know,
in.
We kind of mask it as like, oh, you're having fun, but they're really learning, like, yeah. Oh, okay, this is what it means to make a stroke on paint or make your own paper. A lot of people don't get that. And I think an appreciation for the arts will build the arts.
Yeah. I think the first time I got to go to Spring Art Walk, we've been in this area for almost a decade now. But the first time I got to go to Spring Art Walk, I actually got to watch people paint there. They were, you know, live demonstration of them painting. And I think that grew my appreciation so much more. And those particular artists that I found there and got to talk to, I still am connected with to this day. I bought their artwork. I continue to buy their work. There is something to that, that just you create this connection. Like you said, you couldn't put down your instrument. You kind of build that. And I think that that's something that's really unique to the Arts and Humanities Council of what you're doing. You're creating these connections for people to music, to the arts, to theater. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think to even kind of further that point, I think there's a lot of disconnect between artists and the people they're selling their art to. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, obviously we know of Candace Alexander, Denisha Davis, Morgan Elaine. We love them.
Sure.
But a lot of people, they might see a vendor on the street and not quite get... They might not be able to relate to them on a personal level because they might not be the most educated in advertising for themselves, or they might not even have social media that they could post their work on. Something else we're kind of interested in is offering, I don't want to say TED Talks, but basically we bring in industry professionals to do free seminar type activities with artists, with musicians. A big problem that we have is a lot of musicians don't know how to write a stage plot. And so we'll hire them for Live at the Lakefront or Chuck Fest. And I'm like, hey, can you provide me a stage plot? Which is, I mean, I'm sure you guys are aware. It's just how everything's mapped out on the back end. Mm-hmm. So the back line. And some of them don't know how to do that. I would love to be able to make the artists and musicians here more marketable and give them the tools that they need to go and perform in Lafayette or go mm-hmm. and perform in Houston. And then also come back here once they're big and famous. You know?
So, of course.
But yeah, no, I think maybe I just need to call it like the artist toolbox and be a recurring series. But that's something sure. we're definitely interested in doing in the future. And I think that'll help the general wider society gain an appreciation for what they're doing.
Yeah, I think what y'all are doing is you're obviously pouring not just money but resources into what locally we have to offer. And what's so great about that is that you're building it up. And yeah, it's great for us locals who get to go to this every weekend, right? But some of these events are taking off, and they're more than just serving your local community. People are coming in to see these things. People are driving in to Live at the Lakefront from all around Southwest Louisiana. They're coming in to Chuck Fest because of, you know, whatever headlining act you might have this year. This thing, it's working.
Yeah. We're definitely trying our best, but we have a lot of help, especially from our partners like Visit Lake Charles, the city, CPPJ. We couldn't do it without the support that we receive. So.
Well, and I love things like the Spring Art Walk because it transforms parts of the city that you don't normally, you know, not many people are getting to walk up and down Ryan Street.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, it's traffic there. And during things like the Spring Art Walk, it changes how you view and take in the city because now you're walking on the same streets that you're usually driving on, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. You're buying a jar of pickles because in addition to having, you know, artists set up, you also have a food artist, right? I'm not talking Subway sandwich mm-hmm. artists. Food art, you know, people that pickle things.
Artisan products.
I love yeah. it. Yes. Artisan products, you know. And so
I buy the candles. Brady buys the jars of spicy pickles,
yeah,
obviously.
And so I love seeing the city in a different way during those times.
Yeah, something I'm really interested in. And again, right now I'm very early on in my tenure. I'm kind of throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks. I would like to see the city implement removable ballards or automatically removable ballards into downtown so we can block things off easier, A. But B, on like Fridays or Saturdays, I don't see why we couldn't shut down that little section of Ryan between Broad and, is it Division? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to see that shut down from like 5 to midnight and just have live music, outdoor art every weekend. I think it'd be super easy to implement if we could actually start doing it. I think it would build the culture around downtown and then further direct it towards the lakefront once things start popping up.
Yeah, well, when you look at other cities that have that kind of similar setup, when you have, I mean, obviously, I don't think we're trying to turn it into Bourbon Street in New Orleans, but same general concept of people constantly walking that area. You know, you don't see a lot of traffic on Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
Same thing with Beale Street in Memphis, if you will. Like this very walkable, inviting place to come and experience the city.
Yeah, I mean, even Beaumont has something. I think it's on Crockett Street. Very similar to what we're trying to implement, we're pushing to implement. I think it's super easy. And once it starts running itself, you know, it's a destination instead of just, you know, a driveway, if you will.
So. Sure.
Well, moving on to other events, you know, we've talked about Live at the Lakefront in previous podcasts, so we're not going to spend too much time talking there. But one event that I think is such an interesting experience, whether you're a history buff or maybe just even a Lake Charles citizen, are your living history cemetery tours. How did that come to be? What ultimately is on that docket?
Yeah, so it started before I started the Arts Council. I believe it started in 2018 or 2019. If I'm not mistaken, Erica McCready ran it. But it started out as a fundraiser for nonprofits run through the Arts Council. So we get local volunteer actors to dress up as historical figures from Lake Charles or people that are buried in these cemeteries. And act out, you know, their bio, their history, and you know, they dress up as them in character in time appropriate attire. And it's just a good time. I think eventually it kind of settled with the Arts Council as one of our fundraisers. It's our only ticketed event currently, and the tickets are super affordable. I think they might be $5 a person, $10 a person. I can't quite remember. It's not scary. It's on All Saints Day every year, so it's after Halloween. It's totally educational, family friendly. It's a lot of fun. It's self-guided. So you drive yourself around to the four cemeteries and show up. You have your brochure with you that you could read through. But yeah, it's a good time. I mean, it's just fun.
And you get to see the mayor in a wig pretty often, too. So that's interesting.
I've never seen the mayor in a wig.
You've not seen the mayor in a wig?
No, that must have been before my time.
I'll send you a picture. It's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. No, I love that. And I love that people get involved with it. And And like you said, learning our history is really interesting. We've got so much of it, rich history and culture here in Southwest Louisiana. So it's good to be able to tap into that.
Yeah.
And even some infamous history, as we've talked about in earlier episodes of the podcast, the Tony Jo Henry, there's someone that dresses up like her, you know, and that's an infamous part of Lake Charles history, but something that is interesting that has happened on these grounds.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. And it's so cool because it almost writes itself, all the scripts. And once you get started researching, it's a piece of cake. The actors that we bring in do an excellent job. They're all volunteer. Some of them might be board members, but most of them are generally from Axe Theater, from Lake Charles Little Theater. And they're just as interested in preserving history as they are going out there and acting. It's what they do. So
what kind of upcoming projects do you guys have going on that you're particularly excited about right
well,
now?
Well, outside of the usual, so we have Chuck Fest and Gallery Promenade coming up. That's going to be the next up. We don't have anything that we're ready to release right now. It's not public knowledge, but I can say there is some...
This is a safe space.
It's a safe space.
Yeah, in front of this microphone.
Yeah, just...
I mean, I could tell you my big dreams and all that, but no, it's... There are things in the works right now. Right now, once I took over, there needed to be a lot of reform with the way that we budgeted, with the way that we fundraise. So I'm fixing a lot of the foundation so that in the next couple of years, we can build up a little more. But right now, we are full fundraiser mode. And then trying to get through the spring events. And then the summer is a big planning time for us.
Well, look, something kind of looking towards the future. You know, last episode of our podcast, episode 41, we talked about Southern Living featuring Lake Charles in their publication about Lake Charles being on the rise, one of the top southern cities on the rise. So we talked a lot about the infrastructure and the things that are coming in that regard. But when you look at arts and the Art Council's role in that, where do you see it in terms of fostering, you know, artistic development and then that attracting maybe new residents and attracting those that want to visit and even a little bit of the internal pride?
Yeah. So USA Today released a really cool poll back in, I think, 2021 or 2022. I think it was USA Today, where they ranked the top 50 most booming, most fun, most exciting places to live. And then they also rank the top 50 most beautiful in terms of architecture, in terms of street art, in terms of public places to walk around, like lakefronts, if you will. And they all matched up pretty close. I mean, it was within, I want to say there might have been 10 to 12 cities that were on one list and weren't on the other, or vice versa. So I think art and visual art and even landscaping, you can consider landscaping an art. You can consider architecture an art. It all kind of goes into effect. Now, I think that art's definitely a smaller piece of the pie when it comes to where people decide where they want to live, but it's there for a reason. I mean, you look at Austin, you look at Houston, some super vibrant art scene, San Antonio. They're some of the biggest, fastest growing places to live right now. And I think that once you get infrastructure, once you get tax incentives and building incentives out the way, I think there's not a whole lot of room for anything but how fun is it to live here? Mm-hmm. What do my kids get to grow up doing? And do they want to stay here? And I think that art plays a pretty major role, to say the least.
So how can listeners learn more about the Arts and Humanities Council of Southwest Louisiana or get involved?
Yeah, so we have a pretty thriving newsletter. It goes out once a week. It's called the Heartbeat Weekly. It's got all sorts of events coming up, programs coming up, art exhibit openings, museum information, ticket information. On top of that, we also post on social media probably 3 or 4 times a week, upcoming events that we have going on and maybe things that we grant out sometimes. But yeah, just other than that, you can visit our website, www.artscouncilswla.com, or just come by and see us. Come check out Central School. We're happy to give you a quick little tour if you'd like, if you're interested. Shoot me an email, super easy to find. Yeah, we also have a pretty high-functioning volunteer board. I think we have 32 board members right now, and they're fantastic. They help us with everything from planning to event execution to just running beer at Live at the Lakefront. So great people. So if you were that passionate, that interested, feel free to fill out a board informational packet online at our website. Just come find us. We're easy to find.
Thanks again to Cameron for joining us here on the podcast, and thank you for taking time out of your day to join us on Louisiana's Playground. If you enjoyed the show, please follow our podcast, leave us a rating or a review, as always, and a little plus sign button if you're listening maybe on Apple, Spotify, you know, follow us.
So by leaving us a rating or review, that always helps us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and Southwest Louisiana has to offer. So go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Corder.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. See you.